This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan, I'm PK Pagan, and joining me on the show today, I have two very special guests. I have Kwek Shou Chuan and Ismail Kamarul. The both of them are responsible for the movie Guang. Now, if that name sounds familiar, it's because you may have seen the short film version of it, which won the BMW Shorties about 7 years ago. That was a while ago, and that's when I spoke to you first, Kwek.
Yeah, that was the first time we met, yeah.
It was a different show then. I think it was called WTF, or What
yeah,
the
it
Flick.
Was, it was.
That was what
correct,
it was. It's so great to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
And it's so great to see this thing, this great short film that we all loved, kind of evolve into this full-length feature. Was that something you always wanted to do?
Making a movie is something that we always wanted to do. So yep. It took us a while to get the opportunity to do so. And through the years, after the short film, we've been doing a lot of commercials and a few more short films.
Making movies is always the promised land for us, coming from a commercial production house. Reservoir is a commercial production house. And it's always been me and Craig's dream to like, do a movie lah.
And of course, with most people who have that dream, most Malaysian filmmakers, to make money, you have to make the commercials lah.
Correct.
As in, that's the day-to-day stuff,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what we did as well. Over the years, we've been collecting and saving so that we could pour it into this.
And not just
movie.
The money side. So the commercials, thankfully, the commercials that we've been doing are mostly the storytelling ones, like Petronas and TNB. And so it kind of like mengasahkan our filmmaking skills. Perhaps to prepare us for the big thing, which is the film itself.
So when the time finally comes and we get the opportunity, we thought, why don't we go back to that original first idea that we love so much and is really close to our hearts. And that's why we decided to make Guang into a movie.
Yep.
So I haven't seen the film yet because it only opens in cinemas on the 29th. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to it. But I found it difficult to kind of imagine how you would expand that story. So talk to me about the process of expanding the story. And I say that because when I watched the short film, it felt so complete.
We are dealing with going more in-depth towards the character Guang, so you get to see a lot more backstory of what happened between him and the younger brother before the incidents of the short film. Most of it is, we will look at it like a reboot of the short film where we tell the story in full.
And I think in the short film itself, there's still a lot of things that is not explained. The reasons why he would want to collect the glasses and play the music, for example. His day-to-day struggles as an autistic person. So I think there's a whole lot of unexplored areas that I think the film dives into, and some of the difficult themes that we couldn't be able to talk about or tell in a 15-minute short film.
And if you look at the short film and the long film, I think the main difference would be his instrument. For the movie one, it's a lot more complicated than the short film.
And that's all you're going to say about it.
Yep, that's all I'm going to say about it.
No spoilers. That's fine. Yeah. That's all right. You guys were both co-writers on the movie as well. Mm-hmm. What was it like expanding something that already existed into this longer film? Because there's a tendency sometimes for there to be a lot of fat. Did you trim that? Because I'm assuming your commercial background allows you, you're given such limited time as commercial directors.
No, I don't think it comes in handy at all. I think a feature film is a completely different beast than a commercial. That's the learnings that we're learning on this. On this experience.
Because like a commercial, we could watch it like 20 times a day and we would know how to make it better. Whereas a film, we would edit and work on the revisions for a week and then you could watch it one time and you're tired. So it's really different from 2 to 4 minutes content that we're really used to.
Yeah, so it was that. I think that's why it took 4 years for the film to complete.
Yep.
It was a whole new it was a learning experience as well as making a film at the same time. And we didn't have any... masters above us to guide us you know, like reputable film directors had done movies before. No one was above us to tell us. We basically had to look to each other for advice and trust. And that was the hard part, I would say.
But I think through the 4 years, we learned a lot about filmmaking. But most importantly, I think we learned a lot about ourselves.
And you're still together. Yeah. That is the important thing.
Pretty much.
Hey, you know, a lot has changed in the last 7 years as well, especially with regards to awareness about autism and people who suffer on the spectrum, right? And when I watched your short film all those years ago, the one thing that I enjoyed most about it was that it wasn't preachy. You weren't trying to teach people about autism. You were trying to tell a good story. It's hard to disconnect the message from the story. How did you guys balance that out?
I think for the movie, we kept the same mentality. It's never preachy about autism. It's always focusing on family values and the story about two brothers. We personally feel that if it's a story well told, you would feel the sentiments by itself. That means autism is just as the background, as the backbone of the story. It is why the character acts as such, but it wasn't at all preachy telling you, you know, to kasihan the autistic fella and spell out his syndromes.
Yeah, and I think another reason why that the short film and the long film wasn't preachy is because most of the autism films out there, like Rain Man and Jet Li's, forgot what's it called again?
Ocean's Heaven.
I mean, they are good films, but they it's almost like the characters in the film are just rediscovering the person that is autistic, like Tom Cruise was rediscovering Dustin Hoffman. Even though they were brothers, they didn't know each other. So you as an audience, you're discovering their relationship as well as they're rediscovering their relationship. But in Guang, they already know each other from the start of the film. At the get-go, they've lived together for the, you know, for the better part of their lives. So that there's no discovery anymore. It's just straight away into how two brothers would live if one of them was autistic.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is your surrogate, right? In that movie, you are Tom Cruise, someone who's just figuring everything out for the first time.
Correct.
How well do you think that'll play out with a Malaysian audience?
Well, what we are hoping is, I think what people tell us so far is that we've managed to bridge the gap between an art film and a mass
commercial film.
Which is what everyone is trying to do, right?
Which is what everyone is trying to do, and which is what we are.
We have been terribly stubborn about that as well.
We've been terribly,
How? Tell me how stubborn.
No, because a lot of people have been advising us on the risk of making a film, especially a first film. First of all, the genre is something that's not very, very much well received, because the ones that sell are horror.
I mean, you've got no ghosts and you've got no people shooting things.
No guns.
So no guns, right? I just want to make that clear.
No guns.
No explosions.
Yeah, no explosions.
So from the get-go, the genre is already a challenge. And second, when they always ask us, is it a more commercial film or towards a more art house film where you want to join festival and win awards? And a lot of times when we discuss with each other, we always kind of go, we want a little bit of both.
I think everybody wants that for their films, and I think we managed to do something that is both palatable for the critics and the masses. I dare say most people will walk away from the cinema with a big eye bag and, you know, after crying for some time in the cinema. But it's not like a sad cry. I think it's almost like wisdom.
It's almost like there's tears in your smile and there's laughter within your cry. You know, that kind of thing. The kind of complex emotions.
And I think that was what the short film had, right? It was this idea of hope and inspiration. It was happiness and joy that came from that, as opposed to misery. So you're not making people sad, lah.
Yeah.
How did you cast the film? I mean, you're working, I'm assuming, with a larger group of players this time?
So for the short film, I think you've seen it before, we only got the main character 4 days before our shoot. Then we had no time to find the supporting character, which is the younger brother. That's why I played it. So when we make the movie, we open it up for casting. And as soon as Ernest comes in for casting, we immediately think that, wow, he's a suitable character for TT. I mean, there's a lot more new characters as well in the movie. If you compare it to the short film, there will be a female lead. And a lot of the side characters are actually friends and people that surround us, our producers and whoever. As we write the script, we thought, okay, this character fits one of our friends the most, and we give them all chances. So the side characters, you even see Ismail in the film, if you can spot him.
We're doing a Hitchcock with our cameos, which is fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun.
You know, guys, I think making movies in Malaysia is quite a struggle.
Yes, it
in
is.
That
it
is. I speak to a lot of local filmmakers, and especially if you're not within the studio system as well.
Yeah, correct.
Tell me about raising money for this. Okay. I mean, you guys said that you spent a lot of time putting money aside.
Yeah.
How did you fund this movie?
Well, originally, when me and Quack wanted to do this, us both being, even though I'm a producer, I'm also creative first, and us both being creative, we talk, but nothing ever gets done until our producer Sabrina comes along and she's like, "Are you serious about making this film? I'll find the money." So what she initially did,
thank God for the producer.
Thank God for the for the producer. Yes, and what she did initially was to approach MDEC. They had this fund called the Development Fund, Production Fund, and we were the last ones to actually get it. So we actually pitched, and all of a sudden we know this money is coming in. Suddenly everything is real. Okay, no more commercial. We need to put aside some time and actually do this. But it was a reimbursement grant of 40% for MDEC, which means we had to spend the money first and then only close it and then only get the money back. But there's still that other 60% that we need to account for. So in the end, we decided to... initially, we were going around studios and begging for or showing what our idea was, and we already got this grant. But most of the deals that we were getting was really, you know, not... on our favor, lah.
Yeah.
Not on our favor, lah. It was on the studio's favor. So we decided to, hey, you know, we did the commercials. We are a full-fledged production house. We got our own money. So let's finance this on our own, which nobody ever does, which is the danger. But thankfully, after we finished the film and we showed it around, after we finished the final cut, we showed it back to the people that said no to us initially. And then now they're like, hey, okay, now we want
well,
a piece of it.
Well, they were all crying at the end of the movie. Yeah. And they were like, this is good.
Yeah, and they want a piece of it. But the people that supported us the most from the start, which actually wanted to support us from the start, but we said no because we wanted to do it our way without any studio meddling, was MM2. So in the end, they jumped on board and became our partners and financed another 50-60% of the film. So that's how we did it. We did it first and then we sold it later.
Yeah.
Normally films are selling it first and then only making it later.
That's
so,
a rarity.
And it's a big risk as well. Yeah.
It is a big risk. Yeah. But I think there was a certain amount of confidence in the story that you were trying to tell.
Yes, there was.
And I guess having that short film behind you and seeing how well that was received must have helped.
Yes.
The short film has always been like that Bible that we could go back to and refer. Did we craft something that's too much, too little? But it is also something that kind of, in some ways, limits us. So for our next one, I think we're definitely not going to transform any of our short films into a long one. Right.
Depends on mine. I might do that for my short film.
But it won't be a reboot. That's like no, more like yes, it won't be a reboot. Right. It's more like a continuation of what we have.
I mean, the next one I can say. When it comes to Reservoir as a production house, as filmmakers, as people that are starting to jump into the feature game, so to speak. The kind of films you want to make is it's not about genre. It's not about whether you want to do drama or what. Our sole thing here is that we want to make films that impact the public positively.
Yep.
So this one being autism, and it can be horror as well, as long as the message of the story, it's got a good meaning, and that's kind of like our sale, our direction on which direction we want to go to any films that we make in the future.
Have you guys got the bug now? I mean, now that you've gone through this first production, this first feature film, you've struggled through all of the pain that comes with it. Is it something you want to do again? Is it like childbirth?
We've got the bug from the start already, lah.
Yeah, I definitely would love to, lah.
it's an amazing experience making a film. I mean, no disrespect to advertising. It's what we do. It's our main business. But when you do a film for advertising, for brands, whether it's Petronas or Quakes, TNB or my Petronas is, in the end, the film, it's good messages and it's a nice area to learn and to explore your skills. But in the end, it's a story for that brand. You're working with a brief and there's... Yeah, so and you're telling a story for another brand and it's different when you're making your own film.
Exactly.
Different.
And as creatives yourselves, I mean, you have these ideas in your brain that you just want to see realized, right?
Yes. And
that's the bug.
It's like a bubble in your stomach that you cannot stop. It just continues to expand and it needs to let out, I guess.
Well, I, for one, am so glad that you guys finally made this. I was a big fan of the short film, so I'm really looking forward to watching the film. Mm-hmm. And I will encourage all of you out there to go and watch this film as well. It opens on the 29th of November.
That's right. Yeah.
In cinemas.
Nationwide.
All across the country.
Yep.
Ismail Kwek, congratulations on the film.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.